Good morning, everyone. Can everybody hear me? Am I blasting anyone?
No.
Okay, about right. Good. Well, welcome. I am so delighted to welcome you to the Student Early Career Track here at the American Scientific Affiliation Conference. This track is a partnership with InterVarsity's Emerging Scholars Network, and we're always delighted to welcome them. And our topic is Faith and Work for Science Careers. So I think a question that many of us have over time is, oh, I guess I should introduce myself. I'm Hannah Eagles, the Director of Partnerships and Innovation for ASA, and I also was on staff for 9 years with Emerging Scholars Network at InterVarsity. Love collaborating closely with friends and colleagues at IB. So I think a question that a lot of us have, if you really love Jesus and are serious about your faith, and you also really love science and care about your career and vocation, is, do these things connect in some way? Are there ways that growing in my career as a lab scientist or a doctor or an engineer in the field could help me grow Christian virtues? Are there ways that my faith might give me more insight or resilience or joy in what I'm doing? So that's what we're going to talk about today. We'll have about a half hour of conversation with the panel, so I'll introduce the moderator to you shortly. And then we'll split roughly by field area into small groups. And you see we have Jennifer Wiseman, who is an astrophysicist with us today. So you see you have a planet-themed small group questions that we'll use to discuss. Just so I have a sense of who's in the room at the moment for when we eventually range into small groups, would you raise your hand if you identify broadly with biology in some way? Wonderful. There's always a lot of biologists, which is great. Would you raise your hand if you identify broadly with the social sciences in some way? Oh, a few of you, great. Always love to see social scientists here. Very important part of our work. And then, how about physics? No physicists today? Excellent, a few, great. Chemistry? A few of you too? And just call out any field areas I may have missed, like history of science or another, natural or social science. Are you in a category I completely missed so far, like geology maybe?
Health sciences.
Health sciences, yes, please do raise your hand if you're in health sciences. A lot of you folks too, wonderful, that's great. So when the time comes, we'll probably have a health sciences category and a biology non-health sciences category, and that'll help us get a little bit more infield connections. And now you sort of roughly know what areas people are in and you can connect with others later. Well, with that, I am delighted to introduce Chris Sullivan. Chris is the area director for InterVarsity's Graduate and Faculty Ministries in Western New York, where I live. He's a very innovative campus minister. He's a very caring campus minister. And while his main academic training is in theology, he loves listening to and supporting scientists. He listens to the BioLogos podcast for fun. He came last year to this conference and engaged very deeply. So you're in good hands with Chris. I think you will enjoy his panel facilitation very much. And Chris, I will sit down and let you intro the panel, and you can just call me up to join you all when you get to the Q&A moment.
Sounds great. Thank you, Hannah. Well, it's wonderful to see you, wonderful to have our panelists for this conversation. I will just, for the sake of time, give some introductions and get us started with a question. So all the way on the left, on my left, your right, is Dr. Jennifer Wiseman. Dr. Wiseman is a NASA scientist for the Hubble Space Telescope, discoverer of periodic comet, a comet, 114b Wiseman-Skiff, and is Director Emeritus of the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion Program for the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And then seated next to her is Elaine Fung, who works who's working on her PhD in communication at Regent University. She has an MA from San Jose State University in Communication Studies, is the event coordinator for Faith and Work Movement Global, and is a graduate student fellow of the Christianity and Communication Studies Network. And then right to my left is Dr. Sumi Lee. Dr. Lee is has her PhD from the Harvard Virology Program, is a postdoc in the Frank Slack Lab at the Harvard Medical School, and has interests in public health and computational and experimental approaches to studying host non-coding RNAs. So thank you for being part of this panel discussion. I hope this is a conversation. So to start, I'd love to just ask, and this is a question that I ask every grad student faculty that I come across on campus, is as you think about your field area, what does Jesus love about your field area, about your research? And I'll just pass the mic.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. So, as Chris mentioned, I'm an astrophysicist, an astronomer interested in space. In the past, in past centuries, there was a difference between an astronomer and an astrophysicist. The astronomers would be the ones kind of looking up at the sky and taking recordings, and the physicist would be the one trying to figure out the physics behind what's making the universe work. But in modern science, astronomy, professional astronomy and astrophysics are the same thing. So many times there's a department of physics at a university, and sometimes it's called, and the astronomy and astrophysics is within that physics department, or it's a department of physics and astronomy, which basically means that astrophysics is part of that department, or there's a separate department of astronomy, but they're really doing the physics as well. So it's kind of all the same thing now professionally. What does Jesus love about my field? Well, I really need to ask him more to answer that question. But I believe firmly in Psalm 19 that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they're pouring forth speech." This is a very poetic psalm. If you look it up, it's beautiful, a poem, basically. Day after day, the heavens are declaring knowledge. Night after night, they're spreading wisdom, but they're not using words, audible words, and yet their message goes throughout the earth. And this was mentioned in last night's plenary, or our pre-plenary talk as well. So there's something about the universe that's not, using audible words, but that people around the globe are able to glean. And maybe that means the specific scientific data that we're getting by doing, observational studies, or maybe it's just that sense of awe and wonder that I hope we all have if we think about the universe. But whatever it is, there's something about thinking about the universe that declares God's glory. And so we're told in some kind of interesting theological language in the New Testament that the universe was created through Christ and is upheld by Christ even today. So Jesus is not somehow disparate from the rest of the universe, right? Jesus, in some sense, God in human form, and now God the Son in the presence of God the Father, is responsible for the universe. So if we're studying the universe, we should be glorifying God. And I think that is what Jesus loves about the field. I would also say that what I have experienced is that the field of astronomy draws people in from every culture and every background, every religion. Everybody's interested in the universe and how we fit in. And it creates a sense of unity because we all have our differences on planet Earth, but if we stop looking at each other at our differences but look up to the heavens, it's a unifying effort. And I believe that's true kind of in the global philosophical sense, but it's also very true in the practical sense. I've had collaborators on research, observing projects with major telescopes, and my collaborators have come from many different continents, cultures, and languages, and yet we're all unified by the same questions, the same curiosity. And so I think that that is something that glorifies God as well. And then, of course, the way we do science can either glorify God or not, but I think if we do it in a way that's inclusive and that's welcoming and that we make sure that what we're finding out is becomes a benefit to all people, that pleases the Lord as well. So we try to make sure in my field of professional astronomy and with professional telescopes that we're making the images available to people around the world to lift their eyes, lift their spirits, and help them really understand they're a part of an amazing universe. So those are the things off the top of my head, Chris.
I'll go next. So my field is communication, and one of the books that really helped connect for me Christianity and communication is Quentin Schultz's book, Communicating for Life. And, you know, it has that double meaning of, as Christians, we are to speak life, but also as communicators, we are speaking for life. And so one of the things that I think Jesus loves about communication is that Schultz says, when communication on earth can give us a taste of eternal life, and relationship with God. So we get to be the stewards of showing people that God sees them and showing God love in a tangible way through communication. And I was recently reminded at a CCSN workshop that Jesus communicated. So, you know, as his Christ followers, we are too supposed to communicate. And it's really special because Jesus communicated as a person and as God who is all-knowing. So it's not just about the information transmitted from one person to the other. There's something else more magical there. And one of the best parts of this is that he is still communicating to us today. And so I'll leave it.
So I think every discipline, every subject has its own beauty, and I think over the years God made me realize that biomedical research, study biology, virology, is unique in that we are studying the most fundamental unit, building block of life, which are the cells that make up our entire human body. And if we go even deeper, within each cell we have what's known as DNA, our genome. And I think there is so much joy in discovering new knowledge and translating our findings by studying biology and biomedical research, doing biomedical research to improve healthcare and also come up with better therapeutics for patients. However, I think without God's presence and His grace, biomedical research can be extremely difficult, as many of you probably know. Those of you who are in the field of biology, because we're dealing with living cells, living organisms, we're dealing with patient samples, and these are all living things. And in trying to study them under controlled experimental settings, there's a lot of unpredictability. We cannot control them 100% of the time. So there's just a lot of uncertainties and variables that we need to deal with. And I think that's why it takes many, many years to do your PhD in these fields. And it takes many sleepless nights in the lab, hard work to make important discoveries. And I'm sure some of you may have heard, you know, they joke and say, oh, you publish or you perish. And they say, oh, you know, some professors at my school, they say there are countless number of people who have been sacrificed on the altar of cancer biology, you know, on the altar of diabetic research. But we know that Jesus Christ, our Lord, finished it all. He said, "It is finished." And he is the ultimate sacrifice for us. He died on the cross and he resurrected. And now he's living and dwelling within us as the Holy Spirit. So I don't have to sacrifice myself on the altar of cancer biology or virology because Christ finished it all. And I just have to enjoy discovering what he has created and just enjoy the beauty of his creation. And the more I study virology, cell biology, cancer biology, it really reminds me of how beautifully and wonderfully we're made. Yeah. Even with so much technological advancement, we really don't understand everything about how the body functions, how the cells function. There's so much that we don't know. That's what I want to share.
Thank you so much. It's encouraging to know that the academic in Christ does not perish. Wonder if you could respond to the question of just what advice would you give to students, to faculty, about how they can go about connecting both faith and the field area? Basically, what advice would you give to your current or younger self about making these connections? Who would like to start?
Connecting field area to faith, is that?
Yeah, okay. Your faith in your work, your faith in field area.
Sure. So I think I would not be here today if it weren't for Christian fellowship. So you're demonstrating that you see the need for this by being at this conference, but I was, as an undergraduate student, I was a physics major, but I participated in, over the years, two or three different campus ministries where I was an undergrad, and that was great because I saw there were other, I was on a secular university, but I could see that there were other committed Christians, and that kind of challenged me to be committed. But it was at the graduate school level when I really cherished being in a Christian fellowship group on campus because the pressures of graduate school are different than what you experience as an undergraduate, and really having to think that I'm on a potential career track here. Is this where God wants me, and how do I, you know, live in this career path or this discipline as a faithful follower of Christ, and to have other believers, you know, on that same journey to become friends with, it's really very valuable, both at the time, but also some of those friendships last for the rest of your life. So I would say Christian fellowship in academia is important, as well as finding a church family, and these can be overlapping, but they're not exactly the same thing, and you need both. Second is to really think intentionally about what it means to be a follower of Christ in this field, whatever your field is. And that's in many different levels. So for me as an astronomer, I have the privilege sometimes of giving these public lectures where I get to show those beautiful images of space that we're seeing with professional telescopes, and really getting to think about the grandeur of the universe as a whole. And that's a great way that I try to, you know, share what God has revealed through science to us in a way that glorifies God. But most of the time, the work is really not that glamorous. You're focusing on some tedious little tiny question that, you know, you could spend years trying to do the research to answer that question that only a few people are going to read, because it's an obscure question that only a few people in the obscure field are going to ever read the journal article and care about. And it can be difficult. And sometimes you run into something where maybe you have to restart. I've known people who've done a research project for, you know, a year or two, and then realized that they set up the whole experiment wrong, or the whole software package was written incorrectly, and they have to start over again. I mean, how discouraging is that? Or there's the perpetual question of, am I really in the right field? Is this really where I'm supposed to be? You know, this, I'm not really enjoying myself this year. Does that mean that God wants me to do something else? So it depends on your personality type, but if you're a big introspective person and that question's there, please trust that that's normal, okay? You know, it's kind of normal to be thinking about, you know, gosh, this is my purpose. So I think for me, having faith community is absolutely critical. And realizing that even the small and unglamorous questions that you have to address if you're going to be a serious scholar in your field is glorifying God. And this fits into a bigger picture. So whatever the small thing is that is your piece of the puzzle, always keep in mind or remind yourself how that feeds into a bigger quest of humanity that is very valuable. If it's not, then you need to find something else to do that does feed into something that's valuable overall for humanity, even if your part doesn't seem so glamorous. So that's what comes to mind.
My overall piece of advice is to be present in His presence. And specifically, I break that down into two different ways. One part is that fellowship aspect of community. So I'm very lucky that there is Christianity and Communication Studies Network, and they intentionally bring and think about how does Christianity and communication interact with each other. And so I hope that's the same for your fields too, that there is some place, some nonprofit, some organization that has that specificity and that has those people that gather, but I know that's not the case for everyone. So with that, there's also spaces of cross-discipline. And I think those points of fellowship and contact too are just as important. So like the Emerging Scholars Network, InterVarsity, and even in your workplaces, there are Christian workplace fellowships too. So be encouraged into joining those communities or praying for those communities. Maybe you're supposed to be the one that is gonna start that community, begin that with prayer, and really take that next level of engagement, whether it's showing up consistently, volunteering more, getting more engaged, whatever that next step is for you, do that. And see what God is gonna do and bless you with that. The other aspect, besides the community and fellowship, is just know that you're not alone because we're in His presence. And that presence follows you wherever you go. In the classroom, in the labs, in the workplace, no matter what, God is with you. He's badging in with you. He is with you when you're doing the mundane. So really relish in being in His presence, but also be present in those workplace fellowships, your university fellowships, and within those communities that are thinking about intentionally integrating these ideas together and thinking about it.
I believe that over the years, God showed me that faith in Him and the work I do are inseparable. They are inseparably united. And to give you a little context of where I'm coming from, I'd like to share how I got to where I am now, how I'm sitting here. So I was born in South Korea, and I grew up in Japan, Alaska, South Africa, and other places. And I spent my high school and college in the United States. So I spent my longest number of years in the US, and it felt like a second home. But after graduation, I wanted to work as a research assistant in a lab in order to build my resume to go to grad school. But I interviewed at 50 plus places, and they told me, oh, we would love to work with you. But as soon as I told them about my visa situation, that I need visa sponsorship, they immediately told me, sorry, we cannot sponsor your visa. And I'm sure some of you sitting here were or are international students or international scholars. And I was very discouraged, to be honest. I was downhearted. I didn't know what to do. I felt helpless. Because until that point, if I study hard, I can get decent grades, you know? If I do, you know, certain things, I can do well. But I was faced with this situation where I just couldn't do anything about it. And I was lost in the dark, not knowing what to do anymore. I felt like I've lost direction. There was no one to help me. All I could do was pray. And I asked my pastor, Chenggun Chan, at my home church to pray for me. And he told me, Sumi, remember Joseph's story in the Bible? He was hated by his brothers, separated from his family, and sold into slavery by his own brothers. But even in those heartbreaking, impossible circumstances, Joseph continued to show unwavering faith in God's promise. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Bible says over and over again that the Lord was with Joseph. He's God of Emmanuel. So Joseph succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And one Sunday morning, the pulpit message was on the faith of Abraham. And our pastor said, faith is believing the unbelievable. Faith is hoping when everything seems hopeless. And Romans 4:18 says, against all odds, against all hope, when it looked hopeless, Abraham in hope believed the promise of God and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring your seed be. Even when there was no reason for him for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing the promise of God. For God has said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, his body was as good as dead, and so was his wife Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And God kept giving me his word while I was discouraged, not knowing what to do. And another one I want to share with you is Charles Spurgeon said, to trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust him in the dark, that is faith. And choosing faith over fear and doubt was a decisive turning point for me. I believe in God's timing and his plan for my life, trusting that his ways are higher than my ways. And I surrendered my plans, my motives, my goals, my dreams, my future to God, and I laid everything down before him, and I began to pray. Here I am, Lord, take all that I am and use me as your instrument, as your tool. Wherever you want me to go, I will go, even if it's not where I planned. And lead me and I will follow. It was truly a humbling experience. And during that time, God was working a miracle within my heart, molding my heart into the one that is aligned with his own. And 2 days before I had to fly back to Korea/Japan, I received a phone call from Professor James Cunningham at Harvard Medical School. And he told me that he saw my CV and wants to invite me for an interview. First of all, I never applied to labs at Harvard. And second of all, I knew he would say no if I told him about my visa status. And I really thought it was a scam. But I told him, tomorrow I'll be flying back to Korea and I will need to meet with you today if you really want to interview me. And I met with him and I immediately told him that I need visa sponsorship. And surprisingly, he still wanted to meet with me. And he sponsored my visa that day and expedited the entire process so I can stay in the U.S. what I saw as a setback, God turned it into a setup for a marvelous miracle. when I trusted God's plan for me. Fast forward 7 years, and here I am standing before you. I believe that God has called me and us as a missionary, as an evangelist in our field, at our school, at our workplace, wherever we are. And we are to shine the light of Christ through the work we do. Like you said, Emmanuel God, He's with us wherever we go. And I want to share my favorite verse in the Bible with you, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And yeah, so I think it small experiment, big experiments, lab work, homework, you know, or any kind of work I'm doing, church work, you know, God gives me the power, the strength, the courage to accomplish what He has planned for me to accomplish. And so, yeah, I think that's why I feel like those two are just inseparable. If you really enjoy the blessing of Emmanuel, that God is with us wherever we go, whatever we do, and He promised to be with us until the very end of the age.
Thank you so much. At this time, we're going to transition to small groups. Hannah, do you have instructions for us?
I do. I'll come up to this podium and describe it.
So,
everyone hear me again?
Okay, great. So, I am delighted to invite you into small groups, but before we do that, I'm going to do a few quick introductions and announcements, some of them involving ice cream. So, hopefully, we'll have some previews of important things. So, first of all, a quick invitation on Sunday night to State of the ASA, followed by the InterVarsity Reception and Ice Cream Social. This is a beloved tradition of ASA and IV's collaboration. So State of the ASA is a time when ASA kind of gathers, gives previews of plans for the future, catches you up on things you need to know about how the organization can thrive and stuff like that, and gets you connected to new initiatives. And then we follow that always with a celebration with InterVarsity. And a few years ago, we also started, during State of the ASA, giving awards to an early career scientist who embodies connecting faith and work in a way that we admire, and to a campus minister who supports scientists and science conversations. So often when you ask someone, how did you start having these conversations, they say, oh, there was this particular campus minister. So this year we're honoring the campus minister, from Kevin Ford, who has been with IV at MIT, doing graduate and faculty work for about 35 years, and it is truly amazing. I think you'll enjoy meeting him. And we're also honoring early career scientist Matthew Ramachandran. Matthew, may I get you to stand up and wave to everybody here? So come and celebrate with Matthew and with Kevin. And then I also want to do a few quick intros to IV folks in the room that you haven't met yet. They'll kind of mill around and join small groups, and they'll be thrilled to talk to you across the course of the rest of the weekend. If you are an IV staff member or volunteer writer, please stand up if you're able, or wave if you're more comfortable doing that, and I'll do a few quick intros so people can find you. All right, so you see Dr. Denise Margaret Thompson, who has been waving and was our first campus ministry awardee, second, Wendy Quay was the first, I got the order mixed up. Anyway, equally wonderful. And very close to her, you'll see Beth Madison, who writes amazing devotional material on soil science and faith and many other things, and has written for the Emerging Scholars Network blog. And also, I know a number of you talked with me about experiencing or treating chronic illness, and Beth has also written very movingly about that experience.
She'll be out at the ASA desk talking about our new science communications affiliate, so definitely connect with her there. And then towards the back, you will see Darren and Dwight. Darren is a UC Berkeley IV staff and also has a huge amount of history of science knowledge as well as science directly knowledge. And Dwight is also one of our campus ministry awardees. We're thrilled to get you connected to all of them. Did I miss any IV intros in the room? Oh yes, schools. So Darren's at Berkeley. Dwight works here in the Mid-Atlantic, especially the Baltimore area, and also has a PhD in science, so connect with him around that. Denise is at Stanford and nationally with University Black Scholars and Professionals. And then Beth is at Union University. So thanks. So we would love to get you connected to ongoing digital and in-person connections to InterVarsity through Emerging Scholars Network and local chapters, and further to ASA events. I'll send follow-up emails on that so you can access all that information. And just before the end of the session, we will have a photographer come that's opt-in, but we want to get a picture of this moment so we can all celebrate being together and connect over the years. So I'll flag you down and tell you when it's time to organize for that. With that, on to small group questions. So in honor of Jennifer's expertise, I found this graphic design with planets, and if you turn it over, you will see some small group questions, and I'll give you a few instructions on breaking up into small groups in a moment. But I think maybe the most important part of this slide is take a moment to do intros. I always intend to skip this part because I'm like, oh, we're short on time. They're going to want to jump straight into the content. But I've always found people to go to content sooner, and they do it in a more rich way when we actually take the time to do the intros. So please do that in your small group, and there's some suggested ideas here. And then you can work your way through these questions. These are springboards. If you get into a really interesting conversation that isn't directly on these, that's great. But these can give you some good starting points. So I think the way we'll do this, I've tried all sorts of ways of dividing up small groups, and actually one of the most effective when you're moving around to different venues is to just have people go to different corners of the room and then to sort themselves as small groups. So what I'll do is describe where to go first, and you can all stay seated while I'm doing that, and then I'll tell you when to move to the spaces, and then from there you can sort into small groups of about 4 to 6, and I'll also come around to the corners in case there's any confusion. Last year, wonderfully, we had an amazing number of biologists, and we had to have way more small groups for biology than I expected. So if you are in biological sciences, but not so much the health sciences side of that, please gather in this corner of the room in a minute. If you are in biological sciences with a health emphasis or some other area of health sciences, please gather in this corner of the room. If you identify as in chemistry or physics, please gather in that corner of the room, and you can sort further from there into specific groups. And if you identify as in the social sciences, please gather in that corner over there. And if you are interdisciplinary or just confused, choose the conversation that sounds the most interesting to you. And also, when I come around, if you're like, I'm the only person I know who does the anthropology of physicists in France, I'll do my best to get you connected to something that will work for you. So we'll do split up into those in a moment. And once you've sorted into groups, you can move the chairs around and sit in small circles or whatever you need to do to have a space in the room to chat. But we'll just start with those so as not to get too confusing. Now comes the part where I, as a PhD in Renaissance poetry, try to remember what I said about spatial sense, and all of the people who are engineers and know how spatial sense works and how to keep buildings standing up and things like that can correct me if I get it wrong, but we'll try it. Biology, not health sciences. Feel free to stand up and gather in that corner of the room, and for our panelists, whatever the part that you want to participate in is called, you could go there. So if you're in bio, not health sciences, go ahead and start making your way over to that corner. If you're in health sciences, biology, or not, go ahead and gather in this corner. You're in physics or chemistry, head back there to where you probably can see Dwight Schwartz in that corner. Oh, he's migrating to the other corner. Well, anyway, that corner down there. And if you're in social sciences, gather in that other corner. And then I'll come around and just be sure the sorting into groups is going reasonably okay. Shoot for about 4 to 6 people in a group. It's okay to adjust a little bit. And you should have cards on your chairs, but if you don't, I've got some extras. Oh, and Denise has given me some wonderful science and engineering, has given me some wonderful flyers for the Black Engineering Cohort and science and engineering areas within Black Scholars and Professionals. So if that's interesting to you, come up and grab one from the podium or talk to Denise or both. And if you run out of cards, let me know. I have some extras, if only I can remember where they are. Hi everyone. I always hate the moment when I have to interrupt all these wonderful conversations. But the good news is that there's a lot of wonderful conference left, and we've also got lots of ways for you to connect. I'm going to give you a few really brief announcements. And then I have consulted with Crystal, our wonderful photographer. I can't see her because she's behind this amazing concrete pillar, but you probably can. So after I give the announcements, Crystal's going to lead us down to the patio, the one you would have come in by if you parked in the McMahon parking lot and came in towards registration, and arrange us all and take a great photo. So she'll lead us down like Moses, and I will bring up the rear. I forget who was bringing up the rear in Exodus at the moment, but like that person, I guess. And meet you all down there. If you don't want to be in the photo, that's fine, but we found it's really nice to look back year after year and be like, oh, we were together with friends then. And then after the photo, we'll all go over to the student early career lunch together. Again, if you have something else you want to get to, that's fine, but we'll meet there. So the good news is there are probably too many of us to fit in the lunch meetup room, which is a very good problem to have. So it might be a little chaotic, but we'll at least get to kind of, we'll head to the small room in there. Dana Oleskowitz, our leader for chapters and affiliates, should be there waiting for us. She ran the game last night, so she should be recognizable. And we'll try to sit roughly kind of close to each other, and hopefully you'll meet some other new student early career track folks. Quick announcements before we do all of that. We want to get you connected. Please, if you haven't, do join ASA, an InterVarsity's Emerging Scholars Network. Student and early career membership is free, so if you're a high school student, a college student, a graduate student, a postdoc, or someone within first 3 years out from your most recent degree, whatever it was, ASA membership is free, and InterVarsity Emerging Scholars Network membership is always free. They're both national and international networks that will help you connect to in-person gatherings and digital connections. And I'll send you an email with quick, short instructions on how to do that later. Also, we've got a couple of upcoming events that we'd love to invite you to and get them on your calendars. Saturday, September 21st, Faith and Work Accelerator. This is a short, like hour and 20 minute online event. We have a short panel of people we want you to hear from on how they are connecting faith and work, including Craig Wong, who leads a really cool Christian Studies Center in the Bay Area. And then most of it is meetups by field, so you can connect with people across the network. And then Saturday, January 25th, we are super excited about, we have the Winter Symposium. This year it is Roz Picard and Joanna Ng, two of the AI researchers who have helped grow the field into what it is now. And they're both really wonderful presences, and you can participate in online follow-up conversations or have a watch party in your area. And then we'd love to get you connected to chapters and affiliates if you're interested. Science Communications, the new one. Oh, I think one of the new ones would be wonderful. Also, there's a very lively Association of Christian Biologists for the large percentage of the room that's interested in biology, and a number of others. And I think that's the announcements for now. Keep me posted on how I can get you connected and support you. We're so delighted you took time to join us, and lots of great things during the afternoon, including the ASA President's Panel on Identity Formation, in which Dwight is appearing, and also Bob Kaida, who many of you have had the chance to meet. So enjoy the afternoon, keep us posted. For now, we will follow Crystal to the patio and get a photo, and then we will head over to lunch together. Oh yes, please do slide your chairs back into a row so the president's panel can actually get started this afternoon. Thanks, Grace.
What do you have planned?
Denise! Can you come up here so I don't forget to give you these? And also, anyone interested in the Black Engineering and Science cohort within our varsity, please stop by and grab one.